on the phone right now, Art from Everclear. My first question is, how do I pronounce your last name properly?
Okay. It's Alexakis.
Alexakis.
Yeah,
that's a lot easier.
Don't look at it.
Right.
Don't look at it.
Not to go down a dark rabbit hole, but you're one hell of a survivor. I hope somebody does a movie on your life.
Well, I'm in the midst of starting to write the book. I'm doing the prep stuff for the memoir. So we'll see. I'll tell you one thing I've learned, not just from my life. I'm almost 34 years sober, clean and sober, and truth is always way stranger and more intense than fiction. I like the way you put it. We're survivors, and survivors live to tell the story, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what it's all about, is to live to tell the story.
I had a rough beginning, and it was that got me to work really hard at getting out and never experiencing that again. And as I was listening and reading up on you, I felt like that was just, you made that band happen. I mean, you recorded the demos, you got them there at the South by Southwest, you did all the shows to get the band there. You made your own luck, I think, because of the experience that you had as a kid, no?
Yeah, I think a large part of that, and also being raised by my mom, who had been through a lot of adversity herself, she taught me perseverance and tenacity. You don't give up if it's something that you want really bad.
That's great.
And she was always very supportive of my dreams, man, which in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s, so if someone asked me, what do you want to do? I go, I want to play in a rock and roll band, man. Oh, you want to be a rock star? No, I just want to play in a rock and roll band and have a family. That was my goal. That was my goal. I wanted to have the white picket fence, the 2.5 kids, the wife, the whole nine yards. I wanted to go to work every day and play guitar in a rock and roll band.
How many kids do you have now?
2.5.
Which one's 0.5?
Two.
I have 0.5 a kid.
Well, that's one of the reasons my wife now, who I've been with for 19 years, she won't let me do 23andMe because she's like, nope, they're not coming out of the woodwork.
Probably a good idea.
We're not doing that.
You bring your wife up a lot in interviews, and I can tell you guys have a strong connection. How?
We do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, she's my fourth wife. I had a lot of mistakes. Not that they were mistakes, because I take a lot of the blame and the failure of every relationship, really. You know, when my mom met the wife before her, she wasn't buying it. She's like, she's pretty, boy, but dumber than a bag of hammers and meaner than a bag of snakes.
Wow.
She actually said that my mom was a hillbilly. And when she met my wife now, I had never... My mom was a born-again Christian. I'd never heard her use the F word until she said, don't mess that up. She didn't say that.
Gotcha, yeah.
When did you know you... How old were you? Like, I read that you were 3 when you tasted your first beer and 6 when you tasted your first tequila. How old were you when you knew you wanted to be a musician?
I was about 3 and a half. I don't know how old you guys are, but I'm 61. I was about 3 and a half when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan for the last time. Not the first two times, but the last time. And I just remember losing my mind and running. You know, I'm in my tidy whities, my T-shirt, right? And I ran out and I'm dancing in front of the TV. That's really all I've ever wanted to do since that moment.
Now, let's not forget about your performance in the front seat of the car during Wipeout.
Well, that too.
What happened there?
We were all in the car. That was probably 64, 65. Dick was a year and a half old, 2 years old. And no one wore seatbelts back then. Most cars didn't even have them, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, I'm sitting on the bench seat in between my mom and my dad. Wipeout came on, and I started dancing and jumping up and down. And my dad turned it off because it was hard for him to drive. And I started screaming and kicking at him and hitting him. He pulls over on the side of the Pacific Coast Highway, turns it back on, and I danced. And then when it was done, I laid down on my mom's lap. And he's like, okay, that's how that's going
to
be.
Who do you like as a songwriter? Like, if you were to make a top 3.
Rock and roll songwriters?
Yeah.
Well, let's just say songwriters.
Okay.
Stevie Wonder, Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen. It's hard. 3's hard. You know, it comes down to flavors. What do you like?
Yeah. True, very true.
Is there a Bruce Springsteen line that you say, oh, my God, that's probably the most brilliant of all the Bruce Springsteen lines?
Something out of Thunder Road, maybe?
Yeah.
Your graduation gown lies ragged at your feet. That song is just like, pick a line.
Right. That one's a verbal painting.
It really is.
Absolutely. I mean, wow, what a way to start a record. You know, I mean, I love album starters.
So you think about that when you're placing the tracks on an album?
Absolutely. I know the album starter once I record it.
Oh.
Sometimes I think it's going to be different when I write, when I'm writing the song. But when you record it, you just know.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on with us. We really appreciate your time. And
yeah, man, thank you for the interview, man. You guys really did your due diligence. It was great. Great questions. Great talking to you.
All right. I got to tell you, I could do another hour with you.
Yeah,
as
seriously.
I was looking you up, man, I'm like, wow, I hope to God we see this guy's story, because it's an inspiration to young people who are in a difficult situation. You, like, don't throw in the towel.
Yeah, don't give
you
up, like
Mom
said.
You could become a rock star if you work hard at it. Your life story is a real inspiration.
Well, thanks for saying that, man. I really, really appreciate that. Being of service is one of the most important parts of my recovery and of my life. But for the most part, I don't feel I can be of service to somebody. I don't want to do it. I want to be there. It's a very human thing. It's a very spiritual thing. And I'm not talking religion here. I'm talking spiritual. And so thank you for saying that. I really appreciate that.
Well, you've done it through your music, through your example, and now through being a life coach. All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you for the time. Thank you, brother.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.